you, Santa Claus.
Hi, my name's Jonathan Harden, and you're listening to In Anything at the Minute, which, it just so happens, according to iTunes, is the UK's number one podcast for actors. So thank you to everybody who's been listening. Thank you to all those who've been spreading the word, both on social media and elsewhere. We're on Twitter at Honest Actors, on facebook.com/honestactors, and if you're on the website, www.inanything.com, but you knew that, didn't you? If you're on the website, it's really easy to share the content on there, the blogs and everything else, just by using the share icons down the left hand side. So please continue to spread the word and help us stay at number one. Thanks for everything so far. Here is episode number 8, Jessica Rain.
First of all, thanks very much for doing it.
You're very welcome. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, don't say that. So first off, easy start. I say that, could be really difficult. How did you get into acting at first?
I think what happened, my very first thing I did was a play when I was about 13. I did Bugsy Malone at my secondary school. And before that, my mum and dad were quite involved in the pantomime in the village that we grew up in.
And as performers?
Well, my mum was trained as a dancer, and she'd often choreograph shows, and my dad was in it quite a lot, and then he moved to do the lighting, and I really enjoyed that world, but I also was massively shy and terrible, I'm sure, as a kid, because I just, my first instinct was to not look at the audience, not let them see me.
So that always was, turn your back
on
the audience.
Yeah, I was like, no, I don't want them to look at me. So that was, you know, not an instinct that you'd necessarily put with what I do right now as a profession. But the play at school was really important, because I don't think anyone would have thought I'd have got the part of Tallulah, which is a really cool part. And I loved it. And I also really remember first stepping on stage and my heart beating so fast and thinking, don't mess this up, and also get this over with as fast as humanly possible. And then when I'd done it, I just wanted to get back on stage again. And I was like, that's weird, because I just wanted to get off stage when I was on stage. So it was a really weird feeling that was really exciting.
And 13 is an interesting age to get involved in something like that if you're very self-conscious, because surely it's the most self-conscious of ages.
Yeah.
It's that kind of, you know, you never feel more self-conscious than you do in your early teens.
After that, nothing happened for years. Like, nothing. I didn't really do much at all.
So again, lack of opportunity.
Yeah,
or
there's
lack of
desire. We didn't do drama at our school, and there was just nothing. And also, it wasn't a kind of, I don't know what it's like now, but it wasn't a place where I felt hugely encouraged to develop that side of things. I definitely inwardly felt a creative need to do it. But because there wasn't really anything, I didn't know what to do with it, and I didn't think it was a realistic thing to particularly pursue, so I didn't. And where I grew up at that time, there was not much going on. I think it's changed a bit now, but there certainly wasn't.
And were you creative in other ways then? Did you do art or music?
I read and read and read, and I think that was a huge influence on deciding what I do now, because ultimately, reading is about dipping into dozens of different worlds, and that really appealed to me. So I would just disappear into a book days at a time. And then, oddly enough, at 13, I started feeling a little bit bored, and that's when other stuff started.
So then, what age were you whenever it became a possibility again, when opportunities began to arise once more?
Well, I left that school and went to a sixth form college, Hereford Sixth Form College, and did theatre studies. And that was the kind of eureka moment, because we had a very, very good teacher called, I shouldn't call him this one, but he was brilliant. I don't know if he still does it, but he was so clever in the way he taught his classes. He taught a huge amount of discipline. He was terrifying. If you were a minute late, you couldn't come in. And, you know, in the profession that we're in now, you've got to be there for beginners. You've got, otherwise, the whole thing's going to fall apart. So I understand what he was doing now. But he made me understand theatre, not just in a, oh, I want to get upstage and act. He made me understand theatre as the most incredible art form where you can tell stories that need to be told in 100 different ways and politically as well. I was massively interested. He really, he did, he was amazing, yeah.
And so at that point, is it a real professional possibility? Is it something that you think, oh, this could be a job? And if so, was it something you told your parents about at that stage, or did they, how did they feel about it?
I'm confused with my own memory of this because I think I went to university after sixth form college, and if I'd said to any of my friends I want to be an actor, I don't think I'd said that to anyone, and I think they'd probably have been surprised. I feel like I kept it to myself for a really long time. Everyone knew I was quite into the theatre, but to actually want to be an actress, I don't think I ever said it out loud. And then auditioning for drama school was pretty traumatic because it got just flat out rejected from every single one the first round.
At least you're consistent.
Yes, I was. Like, not even a recall. I was like, what?
So what happens then? Do you go back a year after, or do you just kind of go in
the
industry?
I did go back a year after, but I made sure I, instead of moving to London, because it was so expensive, I saved up some money, and then I went off travelling for a bit, on my own as well, which was really important, and really got some backbone, because that was hard, and made me realise that I could totally survive on my own. So that was really good. And then came back, tried again, got rejected everywhere, and the very last place I auditioned for was RADA, and it was such an impossibility to me. I was like, this is a joke, this is not going to work. And I kind of really relaxed. It was ridiculous to me that I was in a room going, yeah, I've been rejected from everywhere. This is my monologue. And I did my monologue well, I remember, and then he sat me down and started talking to me. I felt myself sort of clam up, and I felt the panel go, okay, get up and do your other monologue. And I was like, okay. And then they sat me down again, and I was not very good at the chat. And then they were like, okay, clearly despairing, going, what do you like to do other than acting, you know? And I started talking about books, and I just went off on one and completely relaxed and was really passionate about it because I am, and suddenly, like, the real person came out rather than going, what do you want? Please take me on, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they took you on?
They did after 4 rounds, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, yeah. So you 3 years at RADA, and then you come out, and do you feel prepared for the industry after 3 years? Do you feel like you're ready to leave?
Yeah, I was chomping at the bit to work. I really was. And I felt the atmosphere change in the third year as well, to being going a little nuts,
yeah,
as it naturally would. But I felt really, really old to be starting in the industry, because I went.
You were all of what at this age?
What would I have been? 26.
Ancient.
I know, but in my head I was like, well, people in the industry have been doing this since they were 16, probably, and oh my god, you know. I felt so ready and prepared, and not fearless, but you know, with the excitement of being in the industry, I was like, go, 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 let's do this. So I was kind of on a roll.
Did you feel like you were, I mean, this isn't to say that you felt you were better than your peers, but did you feel like you were doing better than your peers? And was there any guilt associated with that, or was there any kind of, I mean, looking around at the same people coming out of the same year from the same school, was there kind of, do you feel people were looking at you thinking, how come she's getting to work?
There probably, I think it's really natural. I think if you try and gloss over that, that's not honest. I definitely felt a bit of guilt. I also feel like I downplay everything. And I think I always have, and I think I always will. So I never believe hype. I'm quite one day at a time sort of person. There were people in my year who were incredible, incredible actors and actresses who you spent 3 years with, and they just didn't work, and I still don't understand it, and that's quite humbling. And I think the minute you start thinking, I'm amazing, I'm working, I think it's just a huge amount of serendipity. You work your butt off, don't get me wrong, but things are aligned sometimes in a way that doesn't always make sense. So, you know, there are actors that were phenomenal that never worked, and I definitely felt guilt. Maybe guilt's the wrong word, just a little shy of it, maybe. Because maybe people in my year, I've got no idea, you'd have to ask them, but maybe they were like, why has she gone off to this flying star?
Well, we did ask them, and I've got their answers. So we're going to park that, actually, because it's an interesting line for later in our chat. But I give people an opportunity to say, to almost identify themselves according to a job. And the question is, if I was to ask you, what are you most proud of in your career? What's the job you're most proud of?
That's a nice question.
What might that be? Thank you. Thank you. No one has said that.
That's a really nice question, because you go, what did I do a good job on? And
yeah, exactly that. Or what felt like a massive achievement.
But that's a good way of putting it. What do you identify with? I would identify with my work at the National. I would identify with the very first job that I got, which was Harper Regan. And then I would identify with Earthquakes in London, which was by Mike Bartlett. Because they were just, I really felt like they were plays that were railing against the world politically and emotionally, and the characters I was playing were, oh, they were just angry girls. And sometimes I feel a bit angry about how the world works, and it just articulated it. So I'm really proud of those plays and my part in them.
Do you find that acting on stage in particular gives voice to an angry Jess that doesn't necessarily get to speak out in day-to-day life?
Yeah, definitely. Because
you don't strike me as someone who is very angry, or at least outwardly very angry.
I think I've really chilled out. But it was about politics, and it was about England, class structure, government, things that you don't really get to talk about as an actor. And I felt like those plays were really nailing it. And it was very, not relaxing, but I guess to have someone else's words, I've always loved to interpret. I think we're interpreters, and I was just on side with those guys, and still am. But yeah, it's interesting, because not many people know about that side of my career, I don't think. It's much more telly now, which is brilliant. But people would definitely associate me with Call the Midwife, which is a very...
Well, once your face is on a DVD box set, it's kind of difficult.
That's it, yeah. Which is a very, like, warm character. And I'm really happy to be associated with that. But, oh, I was doing so much before that as well.
Yeah, cool.
yeah.
Moving forward then, it's kind of a sidestep in a way. Have you ever thought about, it's early to ask this question, I suppose, but have you ever thought about what you might do if you weren't acting?
When I wasn't acting, before I got TV, I was always working in a pub or waitressing and doing that kind of thing. Honestly, I haven't had to think about it, because the last 7 years it's been pretty constant. The scariest time was just before, when you came to interview Tom, and you know, I'd been out of work since Christmas, so that's to now, so that's like 4 months. And that was really scary, and I understand that's not very long, but I was kind of scared. I just was confused, because there didn't seem to be many auditions, and I really thought there'd be loads, and it was a quiet time of year, and I've spoken to other people, and it was so for everyone. But also I thought, oh God, I'm 32, oh God, is that what happens when you turn 30 and you're an actress. And that creeping thing, definitely going, okay, I'm getting older, which is not old at all. But what I found hardest about it was the day-to-day waking up with not much to do. I really thrive when I'm really busy. I'm often manically busy, and I had been manically busy last year, all year. And suddenly, I find that hard. I find the imbalance of whether you're working and not working, that's quite hard to deal with. And also, I was on the telly a lot, so if I went out, people would be like, ooh, what are you up to? Like,
you must be so busy.
Yeah, and I was like, nothing.
Do you get nervous about a job after you've gotten it? Do you?
Yeah.
I mean, is there not a self-doubt's too strong, but is there a kind of a sense of, oh God, I've got this now, I have to actually deliver the goods?
Yeah. It's always that moment when you get the phone call and you get it and it's brilliant. And then...
for 5 minutes.
Yeah. And then you're like, oh Christ. Yeah. Yeah, I've got that now. I'm really worried.
Do you have any abiding memories of auditions that have gone particularly bad? Or when auditions go bad, what kind of things have happened? The things you probably have tried to forget until this moment. I'm trying to dig up the painful memories.
One funny one, it was the first audition ever, and it was with really lovely Nina Gold, who is a big deal. And I was still at drama school and I had this audition for this huge part. And it's not even anything bad. I'm not even ashamed of it. Oh dear, that's Tom.
Just an interruption from me here. This week I'm telling you about a couple of things. Firstly, the Honest Actors Survey, which if you haven't done already, is a completely anonymous survey, about 15 questions based on the types of questions I ask in the interviews. Should take no more than about 4 or 5 minutes to complete, and you can get it on the website www.inanything.com on the main page or in any of the pages. Just click the box that says take the survey. Also, just to let you know that I'm very pleased to be taking part in Surviving Actors in February. Myself and Denise Goff will be doing a session on Saturday the 6th of February at 4:30 p.m. There's more information about that and how to book it on survivingactors.com. That's it really for now. I suppose I should get back to the interview.
We were momentarily interrupted by the arrival of organic shopping and a box of wine, which is a lot fancier than it sounds, actually. But we were talking...
And not normal, I have to say.
Yeah, yeah. Putting on a very good show. If you could come in about 12 with some organic oranges, that would look really good. And then Jonathan mentioned it and we'll come across really well. So you were talking about an audition for the lovely Nina Gold.
Yeah. So it was a really big main part. And I walked in and I'd printed off the entire series of this like 12-parter. Just because I thought that's what you had to do. And I was like, oh, it's quite a lot of paper. And I walked in and they were like, okay, so we're going to go episode 2, scene 15. I'm like, hold on. it was awful. It was like a lot of silence and a lot of like, what does she do?
They probably liked the fact that you'd taken it
seriously. I was very green, yeah. I was very green. What other auditions? Just terrible ones where you kind of... inexplicably nervous, and it's not even that you really want it, but I think they get harder and harder as you...
I was going to say, do they get easier?
No.
What about it gets harder? Is it just about the sheer volume of stuff you're going to learn? Or?
I feel like a weight of expectation as well, because it felt like they've probably seen me do some stuff and I want to prove that I can do this. And I'm sometimes really in control of my nerves and sometimes not, and if I'm not, then it's just not very nice for anyone in the room. Sometimes also it's not it doesn't go with how much effort you put in, and I try and put in loads of effort, but sometimes I put so hard on something, really, you know, rinse the lines are down, I'm in, and you don't get it. And then sometimes maybe I'm like, this is impossible, I'm not going to get this job. It's like the RADA audition, actually, where you go, I'm not going to get this. And then I get it.
You just go in and do your thing?
Yeah, that's probably a massive lesson there. don't prepare.
Or go in not that. With a defeatist attitude.
Just, I don't know.
I'm struggling to see what the advice is there.
Yeah, I know, so
go in with a defeatist attitude and kind of don't care.
Aww.
The less you care, the better.
There is something in that. Like, I feel like if you feel like it's life or death every time you go into an audition, it's probably not going to serve you very well.
And do you walk away from auditions and just put them in the past?
Or I've gotten better at that.
Do you hang on, you know, if I don't hear by Friday, I haven't heard by Friday, maybe they're going to take the weekend.
I've really gotten really good at letting them go and trying not to think about it. And if you get a phone call about it, that's great, but kind of getting on with other things. Because the horrible thing about acting is when you get an audition, you imagine the life of the job as much as the job. So you're like, so I'll be going to Yorkshire for this, or, you know. And then you go into the room and do the thing, and then you just have to let it go, which is, that's hard. But I've gotten better at it.
You talked earlier, very earlier, much earlier, very earlier. Brilliant. Actor for hire. I can't speak the English language very well.
I got
those accents. You talked a little bit about luck earlier and things aligning. You obviously believe that luck plays a part in the business. Do you think it's played a part in your career?
Yeah, I do. I do. But I also work hard, and I also think I've got a talent. But you sound so terribly arrogant whenever you say that, and you sound really actor knobby kind of thing. Well, and also with women actually as well, I always think if you've got, it's just really, really easy to go, I'm just so lucky. I just, you know, it's nothing to do with me. I'm just luck. There is definitely an element of luck. I'm not denying that at all. And it's slightly disingenuous because I know I am lucky, but I definitely really work, really, really, really work hard.
Well, have you been unlucky then at points? Do you feel like at points you've been unfairly overlooked? Do you think at points you've went, that should have been mine?
There are jobs that I'm like, I could have done that, and they got it wrong. Definitely. Recently as well.
Yeah.
And not so recently, but there's not, what are you going to do? Like, sit and get bitter about it for the next 18 years.
Yes, that sounds like a plan. Let's do it.
You got to let it go.
You luck or not luck, you have had a wonderful run of work for, as you said, I think 7 years.
Mm.
Do you still find certain elements difficult? I mean, you've identified a couple, i.e., you know, auditions.
Yeah.
Things like that. If I was to say, what's the most difficult thing for you about being an actor? Not about acting, but about being an actor. What kind of things might be in the running?
Confidence.
Maintaining confidence?
Yeah. Because you will always be rejected for something. And
that's interesting, because obviously playing devil's advocate from the outside in, and this is always the case with actors, right? So then you think, well, what have you not got to be confident about?
Yeah.
What are the things that still affect your confidence?
Oh, that's really hard. The knockbacks are really hard, but I kind of deal with them sometimes by a kind of, right, I'm going to show you attitude and get something else, which is probably a little bit unhealthy. But the knockbacks are really hard. I find difficult especially since being on the telly, the public perception of you, of one. I find that weirdly, what's the word? It's not in my control at all. So the framing of me in the public eye, mostly people are nice to you. But, you know, everyone's got an opinion and everyone should have an opinion, but it's like, you can get exhausted with other people's opinions.
Sometimes they should keep those opinions to themselves. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And critics knock your confidence.
So if they're the hardest things about being an actor, what are the hard things you still find about acting? Do you still find certain elements of the process difficult?
I find acting...
This is not a how do you learn your lines question.
No, but I find it actually a relief when I'm acting. I find acting is the easy bit. I'm like, oh, yes.
This bit I can do.
I know this bit, yeah. It's not an audition. It's just plain and simple. Your job is to do this. It's hard when... what I find hard about acting is when rewrites come quite late, and what can happen, especially in a long-running series, not naming any names, but your character goes way off to what you thought she was.
And what you were playing.
Yeah. And I find that really difficult. And it only really happens in a long-running series, because the beauty of a piece of theatre or a one-off telly or a film is you've got your journey.
Got your end point marked.
Yeah. That's the part of the job that I find really hard.
Yeah. Here, this kind of is a moving on to, I suppose, looking forward, because a lot of this is about looking back and processing what you've been through and how you feel about things. But when you look at other actors out there, is there anyone in particular you look at and think, that's the kind of actor I'd like to be, that's the kind of career I'd like to have? Now, who are your acting heroes now?
I've got two men in my head, actually. I love Kieran Hines. I did a tiny part in Woman in Black, and we happened to sort of hang out for all night on a night shoot once, and I just loved him. And I've seen him in theatre, and he's just one of the most incredible actors. He pops up in everything and is magnificent in everything. I really appreciate those actors. And also Mark Strong, I think, is phenomenal. And again, is one
similar,
of those actors that pops up in everything and is...
excellent.
Faultless. Yeah. I was like, what? Is that Mark Strong? Is he in Zero Dark Thirty? I'm like, what's he doing?
So what you hope for your career is to be one of those actors that pops up, and maybe part of the attraction to say Mark Strong or Kieran Hines is, if I said either of those names to my family who aren't in really to theatre or film much, they would go, who? Mm. And then I would explain, they go, oh yeah, that guy's great.
Yeah.
Is that the kind of actor you hope to be?
Yeah. My aim, as soon as I got into RADA.
The RADA.
It was always like, I just want to be respected within the industry. And I kind of, that was my mantra for myself. And I think it was actually a really good mantra, because that's what's really important to me. I want the producers, I want the directors, I want other actors to
Kieran Hines. You want Kieran Hines to go,
she's wicked. You know? Oh, she's good. But I think those kind of careers that Mark Strong and Kieran Hines have are less likely for women.
Why?
I hate to say it.
Well, why do you think that?
Because they've both got like amazing faces, really characterful, really handsome, in my opinion, faces and vibes. I don't know how else to say it. But I think you're more is more boring for women. It's like, are you going to fit into this? What our idea of what this is? Okay, yeah, you know. That. And I feel like, oh, I really want to do characters. I really, really want to... I mean, one of my favourite parts I've ever done was Jane Rochford in Wolf Hall, because she was just this mean, pinched, you know, woman. And it was just so fun to do that and not be this pretty, pretty thing that sometimes you know... Obviously, there are amazing female character actors and actresses out there, but you're kind of put somewhere else as a lady in acting.
Do you think that's changing?
Yeah, I think it is, yeah. And I also think actresses kind of have a responsibility to... if every actress turned down a part that was really boring, I mean, I know it's an impossible... dream, but you know, you kind of have a responsibility to go, this isn't real, or this isn't interesting enough. I can't do anything with this because there's nothing there. I think you have a little bit of a responsibility to say that, but obviously you also have to pay the rent. So it's really a really hard dynamic.
What projects have you watched as an audience, stage or screen, and thought, oh, I wish I'd been in that?
Wow. Oh my God. Veep. Oh,
brilliant.
I'd love to be in Veep.
So there you go, it's out there now.
Yeah.
I don't know who listens to this, nobody. Me and you will listen to this.
Yeah. So
what is the best thing about being an actor? Still.
Getting to go into different worlds, I think, and learning about different lives. I think that's the best. A total privilege. And I happen to, I don't know how, but have played a few real women who actually existed, and that's quite a responsibility, but also, oh, you just realise how amazing human beings can be, nailing it with someone in the scene at the time.
If you were to go back to that young graduate and you could somehow walk up and stand beside her at a bar in a disguise so she wouldn't recognise you, because you know that's very dangerous for Back to the Future.
Absolutely.
She'd never meet your past self. But if you could somehow go in with a really bad Groucho Marx kind of glasses and nose on.
Yeah, I can see it. I can see it.
What advice would you sneakily offer to her to make the following years a little bit easier? Maybe to shortcut some of the mistakes? What is the benefit of hindsight? What is the value of that?
I'd say be more confident. And I'd say go into an audition room on a level with the other person, because although it massively doesn't feel like it, especially when you are very new to acting, and not in a cocky way, if you're going to work with that person, you need to be on the same page. So it's not that you're interviewing them, but it is a conversation. It's not an interview. Yeah, I'd say that.
Have you been given advice in your career by anyone else that's stuck with you? Has anyone ever pulled you to the side? Or maybe just accidentally said something and you went, oh.
Yeah, an actress very recently, and an actress in her 50s, really told me to save my money, because it will stop. The work will stop when you get to a certain age. And that was really scary. Oh God, it was terrifying. But I kind of, I'm not that frivolous with money anyway, so I was like, okay. But the idea of, I don't know.
Those organic oranges don't come cheap.
Ain't gonna be organic for long. But you know, I was like, oh, well, yeah, that was quite scary. And I hope it won't happen, because I really am in it for the long game. That's quite a negative one. What else?
Put money away. One of the things comes, the survey that's on the website, one of the things comes through quite a lot is learn bookkeeping, basic bookkeeping, actor for hire. Basic bookkeeping, baking. You know, learn how to do your accounts. Put money away. These things come up from people in their 40s and 50s when they fill in the survey. And it's fascinating because it seems to make so much sense. It seems so obvious. Mm. But of course, one of the things about having a fluctuating income is you either put money away and try to give yourself a regular lifestyle, or you have a fluctuating quality of life,
which
I find quite attractive sometimes.
I'm
doing well. I should be good to myself. I'm not doing well. I should scrimp.
Stop. Stop buying stuff.
And go with Amazon.
Move
everything from saved for later back up into the basket.
Woohoo! I know, I don't mind scrimping. I definitely don't. But I'm trying to think of nice advice. What I said was good. Be on a level and know your worth. And also, it's actually quite a good place to be, and you don't realise it when you have no profile, because there are a lot of jobs that I missed out on because I didn't have a profile. I know I got really close. But actually, your currency is quite high if you don't have a profile, and you should know that.
That's interesting.
Yeah, because no, you could surprise everyone. You could be incredible, and there's no expectation. And I think that's a really strong place to come from, so know that.
Bonus question.
Yeah.
Are you in anything at the minute?
Yeah, I'm about to be. I'm about to start work on something.
That's no.
Oh, so right now, no, no, no. But that's good. That's the kind of answer I give. I'm about to be.
Yes, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
I hope it hasn't been too traumatic.
Thank you.
And that's it for the next fortnight. Well, that's it for 2015, actually. The next episode, episode 9, will be with you on the 4th of January, 2016. Until then, I'll be putting out guest blog content at www.inanything.com/blog, including two articles by Katie Ellen Salt, who you'll remember wrote a cracking article a few weeks ago called 10 Things I've Learned Since Graduating. So two more from her between now and the next episode. If you're interested in adding your own voice to the ongoing conversations that are on the blog, you can find out more about how to do that at inanything.com/writing. That's all for now. All that remains for me to say is have an absolutely cracking Christmas. And if you'd like to leave me a Christmas present, please leave a rating and a review on iTunes. Wouldn't it be amazing if we got to 100 by the new year? Anyway, have a great Christmas. Speak to you soon.